now tuned in to the Commissioner's Conversation.
Allow me to reintroduce myself. My name is
Commissioner Gordon.
Yes, sir. Welcome back. You are tuned in to the Commissioner's Conversation, and I am your host, Commissioner Gordon. Coming to you live today, we have an interview with my guy. We've talked before. We chopped it up. We talk football all the time. He's a Falcons insider, so he knows what he's talking about. And he's played football all his life, so he's certified. And welcome in, Jarvis Davis. What's going on, J-Bo?
Man, what's going on with you, man? I appreciate that introduction, dog. Like, yeah, that means a lot to me, man. Hey, man.
you know what you got on your list. You know when you run down the resume, how good that looked.
Well, you know, like to hear it, you know, it's good to go through it. You know what I'm saying? You know your resume, but
right.
For somebody to be able to say it out loud and just put that emphasis on like you did. Hey, man, it made me feel good, man. I'm ready to rock, man. Let's do it.
Hey, you know, it's week one, dog, and everybody's going back and forth. We don't know what to expect out of these teams. We don't know what to expect out of these teams. One of the funniest things that I am seeing, though, and I'll just start here, and we can just move all around the league. But one of the funniest things that I am seeing is the fact that these folks really riding for old Mac Jones.
Like, hey, man, you know what, man? It's interesting because you know that you know being from Atlanta and you know both of us being from the city, so you know obviously you're gonna have a little bias towards Cam Newton. But I look at it like this, man. When it comes to Bill Belichick, he's never been a guy to be able to that's afraid to make certain decisions. You know, because he don't care about the name necessarily. You know, he's a guy that's going to make the hard decision. If he feels like that's the best decision for the team, that's what the decision going to make, whether it be financially or on the field. And I really think that when it all boils down to it, man, I don't think Cam Newton had a bad camp or a bad showing. I thought he actually played to a point where he should have been a starter. However, when you have Mac Jones playing the way he did, as a rookie, and it's the guy that they drafted to be their first-round quarterback going forward, you know, if they're kind of on the same level, I mean, I would have went with Mac Jones too, but I'm not about to sit up here and say he's a doggone Hall of Famer, you know, like some people saying, making it out to be.
Bro, I watched the show today. So. This man said, if you take the number off the back of the jersey, you would have thought it was TB12. And I said, get the hell out of here, man. Come on. Like, first of all, the whole Cam thing, I get it. You know, if you got the right. if you're vet and your rookie, if they're fairly even, you're gonna give the rook a shot. I got it.
Right.
That's no problem. I didn't think he deserved to be cut. I thought that was extreme.
Mm-hmm.
But I think you want to give him that leeway to not always be looking over his shoulder. But to sit here and tell me that this dude looks like Tom Brady and he hasn't even played a real game, he hasn't even gone with starters against real starters yet, like, come on, man. I thought it was a reach before the draft when everybody was talking about him. And now they started this whole cycle all over again. I mean, at this point, I want the games to start just so I can see what this kid really about.
I mean, to be honest with you, that's preposterous for you to compare that man to that dude.
Great.
You know what I'm saying? To the GOAT, you know, and it pains me to say that because, you know, there's a, you know, a formula that I don't like to repeat out loud. It starts with 28 and ends with 3. So,
right.
You know, I don't like to talk about that, so I just will leave that alone. But Tom Brady is the GOAT. So to be able – for somebody to put – Mac Jones's name or even in the same I can't even say the same library, you know, let alone sentence, like to put him in the same library as Tom Brady is just stupid, man. And I think it's just being said for effect. And you know, there's a lot of that going on around, you know, in today's game with people having those conversations about what, you know, about, you know, certain guys coming up and everything like that. But yeah, I think Matt Jones, he'll be fine. I'll keep it at that. I think that, like I said, I say it again. I think he did fine in the preseason. I think he did enough to be in the conversation to be the starter. And if he did enough to be in the conversation to be the starter, and Cam didn't really just outright just
right,
just there's no reason for this dude not to be playing. He didn't play like that, but he played better than what we've seen previous year. I think Bill, like I said, Bill Belichick made the right decision, and I think people need to just chill on this whole taking numbers off backs and all that crap, because that's just absolutely ridiculous.
I think at this point, you know, it's a lot of stuff is just clickbait. You know, they want you to tune in and watch. So you had Stephen A. Smith, who I think he had him in his top five Super Bowl contender. He had New England, and I'm like, dog, we don't even know. New England kind of stumped
with a rookie quarterback, man. Come on now, let's think about this thing now.
So, yeah, I mean, I'm interested to see. That's one of the storylines that I want to follow in terms of the NFL, to see just kind of, let's see what happens with the Patriots, because we all know Bill is eager to try to win something without Tom Brady, because Tom Brady already won something without Bill Belichick. So
yeah, I think that's one thing that it's really going to be something to keep an eye on, because the Patriots did some things in the offseason that they normally don't do.
Right.
They literally made it rain in free agency. I've never seen the Patriots fork out that type of money in the offseason. When you say, you know, they talk about teams that win the offseason, normally you think about the Washington football team and the old Daniel Snyder GM days, essentially, you know, just throwing around money all over. Money. Hey, you want to get a check? Go to Washington. You know,
exactly.
But for the Patriots to be the team to do that and like consistently go out and say, we're going to get this guy and we're going to pay this guy. And that's what they did, man. They went out and spent some money. You got to believe, you got to think that Bill Belichick, hey, that's part of it. He want to get back into contention, because, like I said, Tom went down to Tampa, and let me say this. Let's not act like Tampa wasn't a good team already.
Right.
All they needed was a quarterback. I know that's a lot to say, but they were loaded on defense, and they were loaded on offense. They had plenty of weapons, and they finally got their offensive line together. Because that was one of the reasons why Jameis Winston struggled, because he was under duress, and of course, because he's Jameis Winston, and he's had a propensity to turn the ball over consistently.
But
you know, when you think about it, with all the moves that Bill Belichick made, and with what Tom Brady did last year, you got to think there's a sense of urgency up in Foxborough. That's for sure.
Well, and turning the page over to Tampa and Jameis Winston, we can talk about both at the same time, because, like you said, Tampa was a loaded squad already. Us being down here in the NFC South, we already knew that all they really needed was, like you said, they needed a little O-line work, and you needed a quarterback who didn't get rattled or didn't get excited. You know, a quarterback who kind of keep his composure, because Jameis is an excitable guy. So if he gets his energy, his juices flowing one way or the other. We've seen with the eating W's and all the kind of crazy speech that he put out there that he can go off the rails.
But yeah,
if they had a guy that's calm and who could take some of those turnovers down, they were going to be a force to be reckoned with. Because like you said, the defense was a beast. They were building that defense for the longest, dog. Like, it's the defense, the receivers, everything. They had everything set up, and all they needed was that QB to come in and get and pull it all together. But I say that to say, what type of Jameis are we going to see? I mean, he's had the LASIK surgery. He's had a year behind Drew Brees. He's had a year to converse with Sean Payton and try to get acclimated to the system. We all knew he was going to beat out Taysom Hill. That was a facade to say that there was a quarterback race. But what type of Jameis do you think we'll see this season? Is it going to be old Jameis where he's throwing 30 picks, or is it going to be a new and improved?
You know what? Just looking at it, just hearing, listening to Jameis, because he's obviously seems like he's a little more, you know, more developed and more, a little bit more mature. You start to hear him speak in a certain manner that you're not used to him, you know, hearing from him. You know, he's you know, he's a married man and he's a family man now, and you know, he's grown up like literally in front of our eyes. Like, this is the guy, you know, that jumped on the table down in Florida State and said, bank him in the, you know what, you know. Exactly. You know, so to hear him go from that guy to where he is now, just strictly speaking from off the field, it's kind of cool. It's a cool development and kind of see him, you know, mature. But now I think it's just a matter of what he's going to do on the field. And I think he's going to be better. And he may be a guy that not throw 30 picks. He may be a guy that might throw 12 to 15. And if you have Jameis going from 30 picks to 12 to 15 and still throwing 32 to 33 touchdowns, that's not bad. If he's doing that for the Saints with Sean Payton calling plays, man, like, as much as, you know, we don't really care for the Saints around these parts, you know, but just looked at it from an objective view, Sean Payton can do some things because Jameis Winston can throw the ball down the field like Sean Payton needs Drew Brees to do towards the end of his career. And you know that, you know, Drew Brees' arm strength wasn't what it was, and they had to get the ball out quickly, and they had to kind of switch some things up offensively for the Saints in order to be successful in offense. But if you add that arm piece, that arm strength, and a mature Jameis Winston and Sean Payton
and
calling plays in the pot, man, there's some potential there. There's some potential there. I say that. I'm not going to go out on a limb and say they're going to win a division, but I will say Jameis will be better this year.
Yeah, I agree he's going to be better because, one, you have Alvin Kamara. Like, I think that's the big thing Sean Payton is going to focus on. Like, look, man, you got a guy that's right here that you don't have to force anything all the way down the field. You got a dude that's right here who can break a play wide open. All you got to do is just drop it off to him 6 to 8 yards. If he's standing right in front of you, 6 to 8 yards in front of you, just dump it over to him and let him go to work. We've seen him make people miss. And I think that was one of the things that he didn't really have at Temple, or he didn't feel comfortable doing, because every play seemed like it was, like it was old school Tecmo Bowl, where you just drop back, and then heave it all the way down the field.
Right.
Which would tally up to 30 interceptions, because damn near everything is a punt.
Right, yeah.
So I agree with you on the fact that I don't think he does the 30 interceptions. I think he will hold it down, and it'll be scary. Like, I would say that it'll be scary, because if they get everything clicking, New Orleans is a team that could possibly come out here and put together a season, man, and contend for, and maybe contend for a wild card, depending on how their defense holds up. But
one of the things, though, Gore, let me ask you this, man, like, because, you know, the season opener is coming up really soon here with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers against the Dallas Cowboys. Now, do you think Dak is ready, man? You think he's ready to come back?
Bruh, you think he's fully healthy? I watched Hard Knocks, and I have no idea why in the world, when they figured out that his shoulder was hurt, why didn't they just sit him? What's this? They put him on a pitch count. He tried to come back in. I don't think he's ready. Like, I honestly don't think he's ready. I think he's going to come out here, and at some point in time, I hope it doesn't happen, but I think he's going to come out here, and at some point in time, he's going to re-injure himself, whether it's that ankle, whether it's that shoulder, whatever it is. I don't know why they insisted. Jerry Jones insisted on getting this man out here. You just paid this man a boatload of money. All you have to do is let him heal. It's the preseason. Nobody's working preseason. Nobody. If you watched any of these games, nobody was taking preseason super serious. So there wasn't a need for Dak Prescott to be out here forcing the issue of being on the field.
Yeah, man. I think that's the one thing, though, that's kind of like a catch-22. Like, you got a guy coming off an injury, a major injury, and then you have to make a decision on whether to play him or not. And then if you decide not to, then you go into that first game with no warm-up, no experience, no live action, you know, nobody flying at your legs or nobody, you know, or him escaping the pressure, you know, and stepping up in the pocket and making the throw. Like, it's not preseason, but there's a lot that goes into doing those things from a live standpoint, because it like, you can, I'm sure you can mimic it in practice, but it's hard to do that when you're not taking people to the ground, because, you know, they don't tackle in practice,
right?
And they damn sure ain't tackling a quarterback in practice. So it's like, it's gonna be, like I said, I'm interested to see what Dak looks like going into the game.
Real quick, just as a side note, how does that, like, in the instance where we have a Dak Prescott, how does the 17 game season and the minus one preseason game, which he probably could have benefited from having an extra preseason game, how is that going to affect this season? Because, like I said, he's injured. They put him on a pitch count. They did all of these things, and they still tried to rush him. It still felt rushed. So they tried to rush him. Could that fourth week have been beneficial to a Dak Prescott?
I don't know, because when you think about it, the game that they took away was the game that normally a lot of the undrafted guys, sixth-round, seventh-round guys play in. Because I think, you know, you think about how the Atlanta Falcons did their preseason game, they essentially handled it like normal, like, for the most part. So the first couple games, they played a lot of young guys. They wanted to see what the young guys looked like. And then their third preseason game, they played most of the starters. They didn't play all of them. Obviously, Matt Ryan didn't play as well. But they played a lot of the normal starting guys. They played them in the third preseason game. And then if you think back to when it was four, that was the game that,
right,
that was the warm-up game, as it, so to speak. So I don't know if that fourth game would have mattered as much if they would have had it, because, like I said, Dak wouldn't have been playing in that fourth game, preseason game, injured or not.
True. Now, keeping it with the Cowboys, do you believe Zeke is back to snuff, is back to being old school Zeke?
Now, from what I hear and from what I've been reading, man, Zeke might be a problem this year. Because, okay, you know, like, that dude, there's no doubt in my mind as to the type of talent that this guy has. And when this guy is locked in, fully, you know, in shape, man, there's no running back that's better than Zeke to me. Because when you're talking about hitting that hole, pressing the hole, and getting up in there and getting to the second level and breaking somebody off, whether it be running them over, jumping over them, you know, that dude just knows how to get it done when it comes to running the football. So I believe that if their offensive line holds up like they normally have, which may be an issue because of Zach Martin. They've already been hit with Zach Martin not being out tomorrow for the game. So I really believe that if those guys hold up, Zeke is gonna put on a show.
Yeah, I'm in agreement with you in the fact that I think Zeke kind of low key has been one of my favorite running backs to watch, because, like you said, he plays that style of football that we grew up watching and playing.
Right.
That you want to hit the hole. He has every trick in his bag where you can hurdle, you can run over, you can run around, you can do all of those things. And so I think he, more so than Dak, will be the key for the Cowboys. If he can get that ground game going, it'll take a lot of pressure off of Dak. And Dak doesn't have to make a lot of those throws. And he doesn't have to win the game for the Dallas Cowboys, because you can win that game in the trenches and you can just turn around and hand the ball off to Zeke, and he's gonna get you those 6-7 yards a pop.
Yeah, yeah, that'll be huge for them, because we already we've seen what Dak can do when asked to throw the ball consistently. Because you know that was a knock on him. Oh yeah, he can't throw the ball. All he does is turn around and hand the ball off to Zeke. But before he got hurt last year,
yeah,
he was playing that tater all over the yard. So I don't think there should be any doubt as to Dak's capabilities for in the passing game. So, like you said, if Zeke is able to, they're able to get that running game going with Zeke, and I think that Dallas is going to be a team to watch. And I know people rolling their eyes and all that stuff because, you know, Dallas fans are genuinely annoying. Or traditionally annoying. But I can't deny what I see. Like, you know, if Dak is somewhat healthy and they're able to run the football, yeah, this is going to be a team to be reckoned with.
Just keeping it going around, you started talking about questions about throwing the ball. And it made me think of Lamar Jackson, because everybody started raising these questions, has the league caught up with him or whatever. But I want to pose to you, because we watched him at Louisville. He was a throwing quarterback who could run, who just happened to be able to pick him up and put him down on a 4-2 level.
Right.
Is it he can't throw in the league, or is it the fact that the offensive coordinators may not be comfortable enough, or they're too comfortable with his legs? And they're turning them into a, is it the play calling? So what I'm asking is, like, is it the play calling or is it his ability?
To be honest with you, Gordon, man, it's hard to tell, because let me back up. Let me say this. I believe that it may be a combination of the two. And I hate to say that, because when you start talking about Lamar Jackson not being able to throw the ball all around the yard and make all the throws and all that stuff, a lot of people start saying, well, he doesn't understand the offense. And you know what the negative connotation that goes right along with that. But what I'm saying is, Greg Roman is offensive coordinator. Greg Roman was successful in San Francisco when Colin Kaepernick, you know, was a quarterback, and he did some of the same things, and Colin Kaepernick got some of the same questioning as far as his abilities.
Right.
So I really believe that part of it is Greg Roman, and I'll say this too to go along with that, and I kind of don't blame him, because he was able to win the MVP of the league doing exactly what he's doing. So it's kind of a catch-22. Like, all right, I know this dude can be a league MVP by running the offense the way I run this offense with him in there at quarterback. Or do I try to expand the offense, try to, you know, make him make these throws to different, you know, different levels of the field as far as, like, you know, check downs, you know, 15 to 20 yard throws or 30 or 40 yard throws down the field and everything like that. Do I expand the offense, or do I take a chance, so to speak, and continue to do what I'm doing and possibly have him win another league MVP? Or can, and I think it all boils down to, Gordo, is can you win a Super Bowl doing that? Can you win a Super Bowl running that type, that style of offense? Because like you said, People say they caught up with him, but this dude's still balling, man. He's still putting up crazy numbers.
And that's always been my question. Like, the league, you have to adjust. So, and I'm going to ask with the same thing. You have to adjust. So when you get into the league, you have to adjust to the speed. As a QB, you know, the windows close, they become a whole lot tighter. You have to make those adjustments. You have to adjust to everything. And once you make that adjustment and you start to have some success, then the league makes an adjustment. And I feel like that's the space where he is. The league says, oh, that's what you can do, but we're going to try to take that away from you. We're going to limit you on these runs. We're going to put these guys who are going to make you, who are going to try to funnel you in and to make you so where you can't reach the outside. You're going to go straight up the middle or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's up to you or the coordinator who's calling the plays to then adjust to the league again. You know, you have to readjust. It's always about adjustments. I think you can't get too comfortable in the set. And I think it, part of this happened throughout Cam's career, too, to where it says, okay, you can run the hell out the ball, and we know it. The league knows it. So we're going to feature that 50-50 with your passing. And when you 50-50 as a runner, you know, you're not totally comfortable passing because they're not 50-50 in Tom Brady. They're not 50-50 in Aaron Rodgers. They're not 50-50 in some of these guys. You're not going 50-50 in Mac Jones. I guarantee you the plays that he was going to get called for Mac Jones and the plays that Cam was going to get called are going to be a different playbook. Going to be different pages. So I think it's up to the guy calling the plays to wind up making sure that I can make these adjustments. I can make the adjustments to where, yes, he can run, but he also can throw. And then I'm going to make you step back and say, we're going to throw the ball. You know what I'm saying? We're going to.
Yeah.
So I think, like I said, it's part of both, but I don't think he can get comfortable as a passer if he knows the very next play he's going to be a runner.
Right. Yeah. So I think it's a matter of Greg Roman kind of stepping out of his comfort zone and Lamar kind of pushing himself to push Roman to be able to, you know, get out of his comfort zone as well, throwing the footballs. And like I said, I don't think Lamar is limited in his passing ability. So I think he's more than capable to be successful as a passer. And like I said, if you are able to open that up some and give him some weapons that can get open and be able to, you know, make plays when they get those receivers the football, that's going to make the offense even more dangerous. So if you do that, then you're talking about some next level stuff, and then you're talking about those guys being a real Super Bowl contender for real in the AFC.
So I got two quick questions before we wrap this up. One, since it's turning out to be the QB episode right here on the Commissioner's Conversation, do we get a repeat of Josh Allen, or is this the league catching up to him? You know, can he do this again in Buffalo?
I don't know if you can sustain what he did last year, because when you think about the type of jump that he came, that he went, you know, from last year pre-COVID to last year, that like, where's he gonna go? Like, where do you go from there? Like, because you're talking about a completion percentage that was terrible to more than almost above average to great, you know, to good. So I don't think that. I'm really interested to see where it goes, but I think he can be better, but I think his numbers can kind of level off, so to speak, if that even makes sense.
Yeah, because like I said before, I think like he made the adjustment, and now the league is probably going to make an adjustment because you're not a surprise anymore. Like, okay, we see you, and so now we're going to make you try to do something different. And then last one. It's been a hot topic. I mean, it was a hot topic even before the draft. Justin Fields, Trey Lance, I'll even throw Mac Jones and Trevor Lawrence. Which one of these guys do you see in the next 5 years? We're not talking about this season at all, because two of these guys might not even see the field this year. Maybe. I mean, we know they probably will, but they may not. But in the next 5 years, who probably had the best career? 5 years from now, I'm looking and say, whew, boy, I don't know how y'all let such and such get away.
Man, you know what? To be honest with you, I think it's Justin Fields. He was my favorite quarterback coming out of all these guys. Like I said, I like the ceiling of Trey Lance, but I think that Justin Fields is going to be a guy to be probably the best quarterback out of this group, because he's been through something. He's been through some things, you know, as far as, like, you know, going through what he went through at Georgia, transferring to Ohio State, proving to people that he can understand the offense You know, like, for some reason, the offense was so difficult when he was down in Athens. I just don't, you know, I don't. That's a whole other conversation for another day. But he was able to get smarter when he went up to Ohio State up there in Columbus. And Ryan Day was able to figure something out to run for him so he could be successful. And he became a Heisman candidate as well. But in the NFL, though, I think he has what it takes to be one of those guys, and it's not a discredit to any of the other guys in the group. I like guys who've been through things. I like guys who've had to deal with adversity, especially at quarterback, because you're going to deal with it a lot this year. At some point, I think Fields is going to take over as a starter, because I think Andy Dalton still going to be the QB1 going into the season. So
yeah, week one starter.
Yeah, so I think that Fields is going to be a guy that eventually he's going to take over that spot, and he's going to struggle. But given what he's gone through, I have no doubt in my mind that he'll be the guy to come out on top. And 5 years from now, I think he'll be the guy that we'll look back and saying, even down here in Atlanta, damn, they should have took that dude.
I got people saying it already, man. I every day.
It's inevitable, man. Like, even if we don't want it to happen,
right,
it's going to happen, because I work down here in Atlanta sports, man.
Yeah, I got people every day that I go back and forth with, and I'm like, bro, we're trying to do something for today. And that's a whole other conversation. We can get back, like, sometime down the road. We can revisit and talk about Atlanta. We can talk about the NFC South and different places. But I greatly appreciate you for coming out, chopping it up with your boy, man.
Man, anytime, man, you already know. Anytime you need me, man, just let me know. And we you know, we can always talk ball all the time.
Yes, indeed. Once again, you are tuned into the Commissioner's Conversation with your host, Commissioner Gordon, which is myself. Tuned in with Jarvis Davis, chopping it up. It turned out to be the quarterback episode. We're going to talk football, but we talk QBs, man. You know, that's what we do. So,
hey, where the conversation go, man?
Hey, Jarvis, let them know, man, where they check you out. You're on 92.9 The Game. And you're doing stuff on weekends. You 7 days a week, damn near now, ain't you?
Yeah, man, damn near, man. Like, man, I think I'm about to ask for a raise at some point, man. You know how I get down, man. But, you know, those conversations, they aren't like the commissioner conversation. You know, commissioner conversation, but, you know, when you talk about money, man, you know how it goes, man.
Yeah,
but yeah, check me out on Twitter at JarvisD90, on Instagram as well. Give me a follow there, man, and we can interact. We can chop it up however you want to do it. However you want to go about it, like my boy Moneybag Yo, sir.
Right. Once again, you're tuning in to Commissioner's Conversation. Again, I thank you for tuning in. Until next week, I'll holler.